discipleship culture, this verse is going to be used a lot because in the midst of this is a focus for us. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge you give to me, to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it. I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today, but you look at me differently. I'm a teacher, a preacher. With me, there's a greater, a more strict judgment upon my life than anybody here. And I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You be seated. It's good to see you all today. Thanks for being here. In Matthew 6:33, the focus is you seek first the kingdom of God. That's ahead of my family. That's ahead of my spouse, my children, any ministry, whatever career you and I have. It's the kingdom is first. Why? Why is it first? Because of the king who rules that kingdom, and that is our Lord. Where it is the kingdom? Is it turf, dirt, fences, boundaries? Is it geographical lines? No. Where does the king of God live? It lives in my heart. You and I are called to a crazy, confused, complex world. There are some things that are going on. You're going, what's wrong with this? How come that's wrong? You can read into things without knowing Scripture, what it says. You and I have to navigate this crazy world, and we have to navigate it at the same time living out the kingdom of God simultaneously. So as we create a discipleship culture, part of that is handling our language, how we speak into things, and how we use it. So today, I'm going to walk you through it. I've done it a little bit in the past, but we're going to be a little bit more emphasis on it today. When I was growing up in the church, there are three ways that we use to determine if you were a good church member or not, right? You attended, you volunteered, and you gave to it. Now, you could live like the devil. As long as you did these things, you were a good church member. Hello? No? Okay, thank you. Thank you. So we use this as our metric. It was metrics for us. You were a faithful believer if you attended, volunteered, and you gave. I'm really more concerned about your Monday through Saturday. In that Monday through Saturday, am I living out the kingdom of God in this crazy world? Am I doing that? Am I responding the way the kingdom wants me to respond to whatever the world does to me or other people? Am I responding in such fashion? So what we're gonna change our semantics a little bit at Hope Church, and this is what we may have known in our past, but this is what we're moving to. We're moving to, instead of attending, to celebrate and worship together. We're moving from volunteering to serving, and we're moving from giving to investing. Now, you're going, well, Jeff, that doesn't make any difference. I think it does. Now, let me tell you why I think it does. I think this setup right here has kingdom intent in it. I think the other things can just be a task that we're doing. This is intentional living in the kingdom, and I'm going to be able to show you that. Let's begin by just having attend. We grew up hearing, do you attend church? We're going to move to celebrate and worship. We've already talked about it being a metric, a way that we measure. Did you have a good day Sunday? Yeah. How many did you have, right? How big's your church? How big's your church? People ask me that all the time. How many attend your church? You know what I say? Not enough. That's my response. Do I want every church, every seat filled? Absolutely. Who does it, right? But that's not the measure. That's not the measure of how much you're doing to the kingdom of God. We adopted a saying a long time ago. It's not about your seating capacity. It's about your sending capacity. Are you a sending church? So we don't how many do we hold? How many do we have on a Sunday? It's how many are we sending out? It's sending capacity instead of seating capacity. But do I want? Sure. I mean, Julie and I go to football games at UK, and she loves football. She loves sports. And I played college ball, but yet she can tell you stats on ball players and teams and right on down the line. And I'm not a big crowd guy. You might think I really like being in front of people. I really don't. I'm far more private than you would ever imagine. And in that, I go to games. I like them too, but I go because Julie likes them. And somebody said, you don't like crowds. And the only place I want a crowd's at church, right? That's the only place I want a big crowd. And I'm in the midst of a stadium, and I'm just dreading the traffic. I'm dreading walking through all the stuff I walk through and going through and just having a lot of people around me. My point is, do I want people here? Sure we do. Absolutely we do. But more importantly, it's about what we are sending. You can have the wrong metric if you're not careful. How many do you have today? Well, we have so-and-so. How many do you have? You understand? Let's don't get into that metric. And attending can have the wrong measurement to it, the wrong way you measure. Do I believe in the gathering together? This is a gathering. Absolutely. Look at Hebrews 10:25. Recently, we went through a series in the book of Hebrews. We went through every chapter and verse. In here, it's talking about, you may have memorized it as, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It says, not staying away from our worship meetings as some habitually do, which they had the habit of doing too, not only today, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let me talk to you about these people for a moment. Going through heavy persecution, these people. And if they attended the public gathering, they could go back and their whole house could have been ransacked. It could have been gone through, confiscated because of worship. Are you paying attention to what's going on in Syria right now with the Syrian Christians? They're just taking over. Are you realizing the churches, they're actually going in, physically harming those who are attending, running them out, and then bulldozing their churches down, physical buildings. And here's what they're saying here. Go to the gathering even if you lose your house. No amens here? Yeah. Would you still come to this place for the public gathering of worship even if it meant your imprisonment? Even if it meant you lost your house while you were gone because they knew where you were and why you were there. It's like, don't forget the assembling together of how important it is to come and be a part of worship. Hebrews gives a warning through the whole book, beware of drifting back. Now, I don't want to be a legalistic pastor where I'm going, I've noticed you've not been there for a while. I'm not a name taker. I'm not one of those people who keeps that agenda. I'm not. We offer it. It's up to you on what you do with it. But I want to tell you something. Miss here and miss there, it's not long till you're drifting back into a world culture. The way you think, the way you act, the way you respond, even the way you believe. You need churches like this and all around us to remind you, of who you're worshiping and why. And where you need to keep your focus. Where you need to keep your focus. You need that. We need that. I need that. And I don't want you to just let it be your Sunday reminder. It should be something you and I do every day. But we need the gathering to be able to encourage one another in this life that we're leaving. And I'll give you a little bit more of a picture of that. Why is this important? Why do we do this on a Sunday morning? Some kind of church rule that we do? Well, the early church started the first day of the week, which would be this day. Not only this was the day that the Lord raised from the dead. And so they gather together to worship Jesus, who was dead and buried and then raised from the dead. Plenty of scripture for me to give you that picture of celebrating the resurrection. So we are moving, if you go back to the word of 10, Greg, we're moving from a 10 to we come to celebrate and we come to be able to worship. We come to be able to do that. I don't want attending sounds like you're going to homeroom and checking out. Like there's some folks here from Campbell University. Y'all still have convo. They still have convo there all the time at school. And they got the colors on and go Tigers, right? All good things come from and through Campbellsville. And I can remember, and they're going to laugh. We used to cheat convo all the time. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I don't want you to confess, but you know what I'm talking about. And you had it mandatory. You had to go to convo, and it was at convo where my father-in-law gave me my Gideon New Testament when I was in college, before he was my father-in-law, before he even started dating Julie. And we'd go in, and we'd get somebody to sign in for us, or we'd sign in, sneak out, you know, because you got credit. You had to go to so many convos in a semester. It just had that attending to it, that I'm checking in. You know, I'm going in homeroom and letting them know I'm here. It doesn't have any other picture to it whatsoever. It can also bring a false security if we're not careful. But here's the importance of today. Here's the importance of today. This world, when you walk out of here, it'll even happen in here. But I want to tell you, when you walk out of here, this world is going to tempt you with sin the very minute you walk out this door. And Monday through Saturday, it's going to take bites out of you. Yes, I'm older. In my mind, I've got a picture of Pac-Man. Whoa, 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 whoa. You know, it's the world is going to take bites out of you. You hear me? Now, your worship should be every day. But I believe in the gathering. Why? Because we're encouraging each other here that we live in this crazy world. And in this crazy world, somehow, we have got to navigate our walk in rhythm with the kingdom instead of in rhythm with the world. And you need this. You need this recharge. You need this empowerment. We're all doing this together. It's important for you to understand that. I'm here today to celebrate and worship a Jesus who was dead, and the reason he died was because he did it for my sins, my rebellion, my wickedness, every bit of it. You're saying, preacher, you don't have that. We all have that. We all have it. And he not only died for my sin, he took on the wrath of God. Our sin made God angry, and God and Jesus received his wrath for us. And I promise you, Jesus knows how angry God gets at sin. But he took all that on. Why am I here today? Check off in homeroom? Be that good church member? No. I'm here today to celebrate with other brothers and sisters who believe collectively and who believe in harmony that he is our Lord, and he paid a death penalty. He died, and he was raised again, and I have no other hope in anyone else. And I'm here to celebrate that together with you in this place. You and I both need that. We need that. I'm also here to bring honor and glory to him, because when we leave this place, tempted with selfishness, pride, greed, all kinds of things are going to come over. The enemy's going to lie to us. You can never live and follow this God. There's no way you can be forgiven for what you have done. You can't be the new person that preacher talked about, that Jesus promised. The enemy's going to lie to you, your bad moms, when you're good moms, that you don't know what's going on. It's just all kinds of lies are going to be infiltrated in our way. You need this today, to be reminded on what the Lord has done for you. I'm here to honor him with preaching. I'm here to declare what his word already declares. The word of the Lord endures forever. It endures forever. I'm also here today because I'm not only telling a world that can see me, my neighborhood, my neighbors, folks up and down the highway, that I've come here to worship today. I'm letting a world that can see me know that I'm here today for worship. Now hang on. I'm also here to tell the world that you and I can't see why I'm here to worship today too. I'm here to tell the hounds of hell that I'm here to declare him as Lord of my life, who was crucified, dead, buried, and raised again. I'm not only telling a world that can see me, I'm telling an unseen world for me who I worship. You're going, well, should you let them know that? Of course I should let them know that. I want them to know that. I want the world you can see and the one you can't see to know why I'm here to worship. Celebrate and worship him today. We're moving from using the language of attending church to I have come to celebrate in the worship because there is no one like him. No one. And celebrate worship has kingdom intent to it. Attending just seems like I'm giving a task of checking into homeroom. And I want you to live with kingdom intent. Second one is volunteering. We go from volunteer to serve. There's a lot written about volunteering today, and it's not just for the church. It has to do, I can remember growing up, like our town at Campbellsville, Lawrenceburg, would have all these civic clubs, and you could join and be a part of. Volunteering is just taking a nosedive in North America. And you're thinking it's just a church. It's not. You ever been to a UK game at Rupp or been to Kroger Field, and you've seen these guys that handle sections? They're called the K Club. They wear blue jackets, and they're there hours early before. They're a K Club. They're there as ushers and hospitality and all that kind of stuff, right? And it used to have to be a waiting list to get on there. Somebody had to die off if you were going to be or retire or quit, and then you got to be a part of the K Club. They're needing volunteers like never before. You would think people would be running to be a part of the K Club because it has a little bit of a, what's the word I'm trying to use? It has a little bit of prestige to it. Asking for volunteers. Never really done that before. Because volunteering is going and taking a nosedive. We can go to conferences today to not only how do you get volunteers, but how do you keep them? How do you keep them? I think volunteering has a kind of a dead-end meaning to it. It's like I'm getting you to perform a task that you don't want to do. Like, there's this hole, and you're a warm body. There's this position open, and you're a warm body, and let's just get you to fill it, right? Let's just get you to do it. I mean, let me speak it to you this way. Let me tell you how I can tell you that volunteering is at an all-time low, because you can pay people a salary, and they still don't show up on time. Did y'all hear that? I mean, people get paid to show up, and they still don't show up on time. So if that's happening and you're getting paid, tell me what's happening with what you're not getting paid in. Volunteering is taking a nosedive. In the kingdom, we change it from volunteering to serving. Now, we'll slip and use the word volunteer. I'm sure we will. I promise I'll probably do it more than anybody. But we want to move our language to serving. Why? Because serving has kingdom intent to it. Volunteering just has that, let's get a warm body to fill an empty position. Serving has the intent of the kingdom in it. It is the language of serving. Look at Psalm 100, verse 2. You know this one. Serve the Lord with sadness and come before him with awful songs. No, sir. I got to warn you, T started preaching in the first service. I just said, I ain't let her go. I'm just going to tell you. And that was awesome. She became the preacher, right? But in this, I have to mention her husband, Jerry, who works with us. A lot of people in early church know Jerry. I was in my office the other day, or coming in my office. I will confess to you, I do sometimes pick my times to come here where I won't run into anybody. Because Julie knows if I'm sent out on an errand or picking up, I'm gone forever. So I thought nobody would be at my office. Later in the afternoon, had my keys to get in, needed to pick up some things. And I saw her van. I thought, well, T's just up in her office. And we know when not to bother each other. We know that. So I walk in, and T's not there. It's Jerry. He's working in our office. He's got praise and worship cranked up. Jerry's singing and dancing. And I promise you, every time I see this verse, I think of her husband. Because if you sneak up on Jerry, didn't I could have kidnapped Jerry. Jerry would have never known. The doors were all locked. I had a key to get in. I walked in. He's singing. He's dancing. He's praising the Lord. And I always think of Jerry when I think it, because I've run up on him tons of times with him doing that. Tons of times of him. We serve the Lord. We serve the Lord with gladness. We come before him and we do it with joyful songs. Look at Romans 12:11 for a moment. Do not lack diligence. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. That sounds really nice. Let me give it to you in the Greek. Don't be lazy. The Greek is not as nice. Don't be lazy. Be on fire. The word fervent there. Let your spirit be on fire. Serve the Lord. I like the New Living Translation. It won't be on the screen. Just listen. Never be lazy, but work hard. Serve the Lord enthusiastically. Look at Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, do it enthusiastically. As something done for the Lord and not for men. Now, why are we different? What we do is for him. If I mow your yard, I'm not mowing your yard for you. I'm mowing your yard for him. I'm going to just give it to simple tasks. I'm doing that for him. Knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord, look here to all of us who live in the kingdom, you serve the Lord Christ. We serve him. We're moving it from volunteering to serving. Why? Because volunteering seems like it's a job I don't want to do. But serving is a picture of the kingdom. It has kingdom intent with it at all times. Whether it's scripture or it's the kingdom, we do it as unto the Lord, everything we do. No matter what it is, we do it as unto the Lord. Now, this last one is about giving. And I know in your heart, you've been sitting there going, man, I can't wait till the preacher checks off attendance, checks off. I can't wait till he gets to the giving section, right? You all are, you're on the edge of your seat, aren't you? You can't wait. You have set an anticipation for 2 points out of my 3-point sermon to go, would he hurry up and get to the giving part? I can't wait for that one. Amen? Here we go. If I use the word give, it just seems like the exchange of money. If I use the word give, it's just like, here's your dollar, here's your 10, here's your 20, or whatever, right? It just seems like I've just passed money. And we want to switch it to the word invest. Let me show you this. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7. Remember this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the person who sows generously will also reap generously. You reap what you sow. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not out of regret or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Do you see that? And the word cheerful in the Greek is hilarious. God loves a hilarious givers. God loves those who give knowing that the Lord takes care of the balance. Takes care of the balance. Malachi 3, 6 and 11. I'm going to have to walk you through this one a minute. Because I, the Lord Yahweh, have not changed. your descendants of Jacob have not been destroyed. Since the days of your fathers, you have turned from my ways, my statutes. You have not kept them. And he gives them an invitation. Return to me, and I will return to you. In the New Testament, you draw near to God. He said he draws near to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you ask, how can we return? How do we do that? Will a man rob God? I want you to pay attention to the word rob, because we're going to come back to it. Yet you are robbing me. He asks, how do we rob you, Lord? By not making the payments of the tenth and contributions. You are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse. To let you know, the storehouse today is modern day the church. So that there may be food in my house. This is the only place in Scripture where the Lord gives you permission to test him. He will never give you permission to test him in any other area of life except finances. Trust me in this way, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. Now, I want you to look at this verse for a moment. Because we've been talking about not giving to the Lord, having a curse with it. I just want you to know I didn't write that. Okay? I didn't write that. And of all the places you have tension, we can talk about physical healing, emotional healing, the Lord speaking to you, death, the grave, eternal life, the cross, the forgiveness of sin. All of you are right there with me. But I get to talking about finances, y'all shut me off like a faucet. Your greatest tension with the church will be right here. I'm telling you. I know it. I've been pastoring for 34 years. I know. And you're going, preacher, back off that. Listen, I want you to experience the Lord on a deeper and a more intimate level. And trusting him with finances is a way that that occurs. It occurs. I just want you to know him on levels that you probably just wish you did. I want you to know him on those levels. And then look at this verse. You're probably looking at it already. Look what he says about the devourer. Who's the devourer? Satan. He's like a lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. In Peter's writing, I will rebuke the devourer for you. He will say, leave them alone. You hear me? And he has the authority and the power to do that. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not ruin the produce of your land and your vine and your field and will not fail to produce fruit, says the Lord of hosts. Why am I bringing this up today? I want to remind you that the storehouse is the church today. I want to remind you that the Lord looks on the heart. He doesn't look anywhere else. And I made a commitment when I was 15 years old to tithing. I made it public. I didn't tell the church. I just walked the aisle. I had my first job at Phillips Seed and Supply. Made 90 bucks. I tithed $9 that morning. Instead of the offering, I brought it. I did it right. You know what I'm saying? I brought it down the aisle, and I gave it to my dad. And my dad and me were the only two who knew what I'd done that day. We didn't announce it to the audience. I just said, Dad, I want to surrender and commit my life to tithing. I want to be able to do that. And here's one reason I knew this verse. But when the Lord, listen to me, look at me. Okay, when the Lord looks at my heart, I don't want him to see the heart of a thief. Ever. And some of you will come back at me and you'll go, preacher, the Old Testament only deals with tithing. That's the Old Covenant. We live in the New Covenant. Let me help you out here a minute. I want you to know that there are men who tithed before it became Mosaic law in the Old Testament. They did it out of their relationship with God. It wasn't even a Moses law then. They did it before that became that. And so you're going, preacher, Old Testament is tithe. New Testament doesn't teach tithing. Well, I want to help you out. The New Testament gave more than a tithe. They gave everything. So if you're saying you want to be a New Testament church, you better realize what you're saying. They gave more than a tithe. They pulled all their things together and shared them. Who had need? They brought all that together. And then you'll say to me, well, preacher, I give my money, I help, and I do that, and I help other people. I just don't give through the church. I just want to remind you who the church is. It's the bride of Christ. I also want to remind you that in the New Testament, they brought their offerings and laid them at the apostles' feet. I want to remind you that. Now, you're going, why are you on the giving part? I don't know what part's hitting you today. I just want you to know that I want you to know him deeper. I want you to trust him deeper. I want to remind you that even the 12, Jesus and the 12, had their own treasury. I want you to know that, that money was given to that treasury. But I want you to see that it is an investment in the kingdom instead of just a transaction of dollars. That it's more than just a transaction of dollars. It's an investment through the kingdom. We invest with the money that we make to absolutely advance the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to give you a series of some things here. That it's things that you do through your giving. And I want you to hear it. I want you to feel it. I want you to see it best you can, right? 1992, I was pastoring in Russell Springs, came here in 94. There was a resort and marina being built at Lake Cumberland, and it's called Jamestown Resort and Marina today. It's a big marina. Julie and I and the kids would go down and watch it being built. We took a survey when it opened up. There were 1,500 people there on a weekend, 1,500 to 1,800. Our church had the forethought, especially a man named Raven Smith, like a dad to me. Raven saw that, came to me, said, how would you like to start a preaching point down there at the marina? I said, okay, let's do it, but let's figure it out. So we're talking central time down there. 8:30, I'd go down there from Memorial Day in May to Labor Day in September. So the first service would be the Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people there, lake opening up, water starting to warm up. The last Sunday down there would be Labor Day in September. So I'd go down there early in the mornings, 8:30, and I would preach. I've preached in conference rooms. I've preached in bars. I have preached in little yacht clubs. I've preached on a paddle wheel that was a dinner cruise down there. I've preached on the top of houseboats. I've preached on patios. I did that till I moved here. And then after I moved here, I went down there on Labor Day at the end of every year to just close out the summer because it's a ministry that we helped start. So even me being here, you sent me back there. I'm going to give you two stories. I could give you 1,000. I'm just going to give you two. There was this lawyer in Cincinnati who last name was Bullock, and he was running from the Lord, and he thought the best place to run from the Lord is go to the lake. Okay? So he buys a boat, big cabin cruiser. I think he called it Amazing Grace. I think that's what he called it, if I'm not mistaken. And he came down there, and he would come to our services on Sunday morning. So he's running from the Lord, but voila, what did he run into, right? A church service there. He came to it. After a little bit of time, it wasn't long till Gary surrendered to the ministry. Gary is pastoring a church in Naples, Florida, and it was birthed at his call to the Lord, preceded us being at the lake, but the lake ministry helped to confirm what it was he needed to do. That one lake ministry has opened up lake ministries all over Lake Cumberland, at Burnside, Conley Bottom, Grider Hill Dock, all kinds of things, starting that ministry. Right, I go back on Labor Day. This last Labor Day, I went back. Closed out the summer. When we finished, I was talking to some people who were asking about Andrew and Laura, especially talking about Laura with Tom's death. We're chatting. We're catching them up with our kids. How's Andrew doing? How's his church? So I was talking to a man that owns a large electrical company in Lexington. And the other man I was talking to is the president and the CEO of Central Bank. He's a good friend. And so I'm going, you need to pray for Andrew's church. They meet on UK's campus. Let me remind you, this is a church that you started. your gifts, your tithes and offerings helped to fund the beginning of that church. We took what you gave to us, moved some of it to them so that they could have staff and salary and ministry ability and right on down the line. Your gifts, your investment in the kingdom did that. So I said, you need to pray for Andrew. They're at standing room only. They need a bigger place to pray, to have church. And I said, would you all pray that they find a place? Well, the president and the CEO of Central Bank looked at me. He goes, I've got a church. I said, do you mean you got a, like, is it a, like, is it a supermarket they can open up? Is it a storefront? He goes, no, I've got a church. I said, well, what kind of building is it? Do they need to renovate? He goes, I got a church. And he did. There was a church that relocated. I'll just leave all that alone. They're in the process of all that now. I don't know what happened. But I found out that some of Andrew's people in his church have been going to this empty church praying in the parking lot. And we don't know what will happen with that. Seats about 700. It's a large building. Plenty of children's ministry. Got a gym in it. Got all kinds of stuff. And it will help them out. Don't know that it'll be their permanent home, but it may be what they need for the in-between time. You see what I'm saying? Now, here's my point. That church invested in me to go down there and do that ministry. You all invested in me, sending me to go and do that ministry. And people are being called into ministry from that ministry. And then there's a kingdom connection on a Labor Day weekend that is putting together and blending together kingdom advancement going on. Do y'all see that? And everything I'm talking about, you're either sending me or you're either helping with your offerings. You're investing in advancing the kingdom. Do you see how your Sunday morning giving is being able to do that? I want you to see that. We've been talking about Commonwealth City Church. Your investment there is incredible. Andrew, my son, is now becoming a church planting mentor for other church plants in the state of Kentucky. And they're using Andrew to train church planters to plant other churches. Well, that comes out of you. He comes out of us. It is still, you see the kingdom networking and the kingdom investment that goes on that has that happen. In Eastern Kentucky, we go to Eastern Kentucky. We build buildings for this ministry in Marizzo. I said we built 3 buildings. They came up after the service and reminded me we've built 11. So I was off by 8. And we build buildings. We've built worship centers and chapels for them to pray. We've built teaching rooms for autistic children to come to. How do we get that money? Did I run around out here with a bushel basket in the parking lot just catching dollars as they float out of the sky? How'd I do that? You know how you run when you're a kid and try to catch a snowflake with your tongue? Well, do I just run around with a bushel basket just going, man, there's a dollar, let me run and get under it? How did we have the money to help build 11 buildings in Eastern Kentucky? It came from you. It came from you. We're helping other people have buildings when we ourselves have our building in need of repair. Some people are like, hey, preacher, we got to get some things done here. And I keep thinking of people out there. You see what I'm saying? Where's that come from? You ever see me running around? Yeah, I do see people out here running around. There's evidently a Pokemon place out here in the parking lot where you can get some kind of Pokemon. There's people coming. Oh, well, just leave me alone. I'm capturing a Pokemon. I really don't know what that means, but good luck. Hope you don't get hurt, doesn't it? So how's all this take place? You giving, investing in the kingdom of God. It's a network that's incredible, and it's powerful. We have sent out, remember I told you it's about our sending capacity, not our seating capacity? We have sent out over 60 people out of this church just to help you out. In this area, these two counties, don't count this church, there are 5 preachers preaching this morning in Franklin and Anderson County that came out of this church. Preaching. We sent them out. We've discipled them. We sent them out. Over 60 when you count associate pastors, worship leaders, people who are involved in in all kinds of mission organizations. On top of that, you help fund 5 other orphanages throughout the world: Haiti, Uganda, Kenya, Guatemala, and Honduras. We give to them every month. We give them money every month, plus dollar offerings that are scattered throughout the year, which will be another $3,000 or $4,000 for them. Where does that come from? My peach basket out in the parking lot? No, it comes from you. What are we doing? We're investing. Miss Rose in Kenya, Tumani. It is the African word for hope. And not only through her school, she has started a church through her school. Guess what? She named it. She named it after us. Why? Because you have been such a blessing. You helped plant a church in Kenya. Where'd that come from? It came from you. That came from you. Not just a transaction of dollars. It's an investment. What's it an investment in? It's an investment in the kingdom. Tyra and Jerry and the kids now. It used to just be Tyra. Then it became Tyra and Jerry. And I told them, I want you to listen. She won't get mad at me. Don't worry. I said, Tyra, don't get a bigger automobile because you'll fill it up. You know, I said, she's already filled up this one. I said, don't get one any bigger. And she will. That's T, isn't it? Huh? Now it's the kids singing with them. We send her out to tell her story, and we pay her salary to send her out and tell her story about how the Lord redeemed her. You will see 300 to 500 conversions a year out of Tyra and Jerry and the kids' ministry throughout a year and everywhere we send them. Where does that come from? My peach basket. Do y'all see me running around with my peach basket? It comes from you. What are you doing? I told you, I had to sit down in the first service. I just let her go. What is it? Just an exchange of dollars? No. Why? You believe in the kingdom. You're advancing the kingdom of God. I'm realizing I should have taken up the offering after this point instead of before this point. I want you to look on the board at Crossings Camps for just a moment. I'm going to walk through this for you. 1999, I was asked to be on a board, a Christian camp board called Crossings. Cedar Moore, which is in Baghdad in Shelby County, and then Jonathan Creek, which is in Marshall County on land between the lakes. And these camps were faltering. They were dying. They were dying. Their buildings were getting old and decaying. Programming and stuff was faltering. There's a lot of things that was just happening, just because. Just a lot of stuff going on. And the state convention, Kentucky Baptist Convention, wanted to create a new entity. They wanted to sell them, at least one of them, and then operate one of them instead of trying to operate two. But our convention said no. So they appointed a whole new entity called Kentucky Baptist Assemblies. And your pastor in 99 and Steve Ayers in Bowling Green, we were the young bucks that were on this first board that with some older pastors and wiser pastors, because me and Steve were ready to run, right? And the other older pastors had the wisdom and the leadership and able to blend that together. We celebrated 20 years this summer. They invited the original board to come back together. Wasn't flamboyant. We just met. We ate together. We prayed together. We looked at what God had done. A lot of people thought it was going to fail. Through these 20 years, 163,151 student campers have come through our doors. We've had over 8,000 professions of faith. We ask them to give. And you know, if you send your kid to Crossings in the summertime, we ask them, they've collected over $1.7 million for missions. And it's given, they have a mission focus. The first summer we did this, 1,350, we thought we were just doing awesome, you know. Last summer, 16,100 students. We've already pre-registered 15,195, and it's not even 2020 yet. The camp's almost booked, both camps. We've had over 7,000 surrender to ministry. There's a lot of people in our early service and in this service that have served. I can look around and I see them. a lot of people who are husband and wife today in this church because of Crossings. Mr. Miles. And they serve here now. Just to help you out, when the camps crossing started, guess whose equipment they started with? Hope Churches. Guess whose soundboard they had? Hope Churches. Guess whose speakers and woofers they had? Hope Churches. Guess whose monitors they had? Hope Churches. Guess whose trailers they had? Hope Church. Guess who went and did Bible studies at Cedar Mole with the staff? Your pastor. Am I pointing to you? No. I'm telling you, this church had a huge influence financially. Our first worship leader at this time, our worship leader, Michael Higdon, we gave him to Crossings. After Sunday, he left and went to Crossings, led that all week, came back and led us. We loaned a man that we had on staff to go there to serve those other people. This information right here, you know where a lot of the beginning of this happened? With you. Where'd it come from? Me running around with my peach basket? No. It came from your tithes and offerings. What are you doing? Exchange of money? No, you're investing. Those numbers right there represent what your dollars and personnel have done. You have helped do that. You've helped to be able to create that. We are moving. It's a new day for me. Some of you have already been there for a long time. But we're moving to an app called Tithely. And Tithely, we've been doing this for a couple years. And so you're going to get a new app, and it's going to help you to give. Wait a minute. It's going to help you to invest. All right? And Kayla Smith, Logan's wife, has put this together for us. We're working on it. October is a trial month. People, we've given it out to specific people to try it. Kayla's working with Susie to keep all the numbers. You can give online. You can give through the app. You can give through texting. There's all kinds of ways. I'm an old school guy. I wrote my tithe check out last night, brought it in. I've realized my son does not do that. My son carries no checks. My son carries no cash. And that's a real easy way to get his stuff paid for when he's with me. Daddy don't have a check. Daddy don't have cash. So you're going to be able to give, set your own deal up, and be able to give with Tithely. And it's going to be able to help increase our investment here into the kingdom of God. And I wanted to say that to you because a lot of you have asked me about that. You say, hey, can you get this to happen? And I listen to you, and we're trying to make that happen. Hopefully November we'll be kicking that off to all of our church and give you the instructions with it. But let's bypass that for a moment. John 12:26. Let's look at this in closing. If anyone serves me, he must follow me where I am. There my servant also will be. If anyone serves me, the Father, did you see that? Will honor him. Look at 1 Samuel 12:24. Above all, fear the Lord and worship him faithfully. With all your heart, consider the great things he has done for you. And I want you to look at that last line. Consider the great things he has done for you. Our team is going to introduce a song to you called Run to the Father. And Logan and I have been listening to this song for some time. And I used it in a counseling session a few days ago before we prayed to begin. I said, listen, I felt like this song and that counseling session warranted this song. And we talked earlier, the verse before, go back to the John verse right before this one, if you will, Greg. It says that the Father will honor you. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor you. Hey, guys, listen to me. Listen, we have your eyes. We surrender to a king. And when we surrender to a king, we surrender to his kingdom. So it's more than attending and volunteering and giving. It's celebration. It's serving. It's investing into the kingdom. And I can tell you, I know where you need to run. I just don't know if you do it or not. But I know everybody here knows where they need to run. And where do we run? We run to the Father. And that's going to be a theme here for you, but I want you to know that the celebration, the serving, and the investment is because there are a lot of people who don't know where to run. And when you do these things collectively through this church, this is the message we're telling these people. Whether it's in Uganda, whether it's in Kenya, Guatemala, Haiti, or Honduras, whether it's Eastern Kentucky, whether it's through a church plant of ours on UK's campus, whether it's a camp that has 16,100 kids in it during the summer, whether it's through the 60 people that we've sent out of this place, there's a lot of people who don't know where to run. And this is why you do what you do, so that they know the message of this song. Their lives can be transformed by the King through His kingdom. So I'm not giving you the invitation now. I just want you to sit and listen. Listen to this song. This is a message we give the lost and dying world through the kingdom of God. Let's listen. Let's be moved by it. Let's remember where we need to go, and let's remind others of the same. As the team leads us, you prayerfully pay attention.